Markus Schweitzer with us today. He's the managing partner for strategic solutions at EY Germany, Austria, Switzerland, lives in Zurich. Hello, Markus.
Hello, Virginie. Pleased to be here.
Yes, very nice for you to accept sharing your thoughts on what public value is. And as I told you, we ask all our guests the first same question. What does public value mean to you?
Well, first of all, let me say public value is very close to my heart. It is something I personally have dealt with over the last couple of years, actually, for more than 5 years already at EY, sponsoring the topic of public value with the cooperation we've been having with external parties as well on this topic. And what does it mean for me from a definition point of view? Public value is really what the public in a broader sense values, which means it's for me it is not a defined, let's say, concept per se. It is always depending on society, on values in society, and those values in society can change over time. So that also means public value as perceived by society changes over time. But in essence, it is a positive or a negative contribution to the public good as perceived by the wider society at a certain point in time. That would be my definition for it.
Excellent. So it changes, it varies depending on time, but also on the different cultures. It may be different in Asia, in Europe, etc. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is, I think that is what makes it also a bit complex to talk about public value. So there's not one size fits all. When you talk, for example, with a global organization such as ours, so public value for EY and what EY creates, or hopefully not destroys, but creates as public value, really varies from, I would say, jurisdiction to jurisdiction based on different cultures, based on different preferences of the society as a whole.
EY positions itself saying that you all support purpose-driven organizations. Would you see that there is any difference between the public value and a purpose-driven corporation?
I think there's a very, very close relationship there. We as EY define the purpose for ourselves, as you know, Virginie, a couple of years ago. Building a better working world is our purpose. And how can you measure whether you achieve a certain purpose? I think the best way of doing that is trying to measure public value that we generate as an organization, because at the end of the day, that is what we give to society as a whole. And if we are successful in activating our purpose, then public value that we generate should actually increase. And that is the relationship I see between purpose, activating the purpose, and the public value that is being created from that.
Mm-hmm. From your perspective, from the perspective of strategic development, how would you appreciate the current trend? Do corporations grow in defining their purpose, public value, or do we see a fatigue, a little bit like we saw some kind of a fatigue with compliance and anti-bribery measures, for example, at one point?
Not at all. To the opposite, I see a trend. Pioneering organizations started to define a purpose and to activate the purpose years ago, and I think the transformation that we see these days, driven by technology, demographics, globalization, and so on, which really drives organizations from the old reality into a new reality. So there's a lot of transformation going on. Organizations that do not transform will actually probably die at some point in time. So there's a huge pressure on organizations these days. And all these organizations are looking for, let's say, the solid rock in the stormy sea, and that solid rock can be the purpose. And many organizations have realized that that is a very, very valuable element that they need to define and activate. So I would see more of a trend towards more purposeful thinking, purposeful transformation also, for the reason I just described.
Right, so the planet is endangered, everything is much faster, so the technology and these really profound transformations that are happening in economy, we have to see them happening in corporations as well.
Absolutely, as I just said, there's huge pressures on companies now. Let's say for-profit organizations, companies, corporations that we are working with, to cope with the new realities. Digitalization is just one of those new elements of the new reality, and purpose can be a guiding element within that journey and within that transformation, so many organizations have detected that, have seen yes, we need to have a purpose, we need to activate the purpose, and they see all the benefits coming from that as well.
Yes. So few years later, they still see the benefit. Yes, it's not Kathy, they are really embracing it. What's the percentage of the big corporations that actually embrace this purpose-driven strategy or public value? Are they the majority of them or not yet?
We haven't done any exact empirical study on that one. Maybe it's a good idea. Maybe we should. I'll take that up after the interview as an idea. My feeling is, working with companies here in Switzerland, Germany, and Austria, I would say of the top publicly listed companies, it is by now the majority that has a defined purpose, but it's not yet the majority that has successfully activated that purpose. And if you look at very recent examples, certain companies that had previously defined a purpose, such as Bayer pharmaceutical company in Germany, for example, they are struggling currently with a situation that is very much opposed to their stated purpose. So you could also say the activation of the purpose in this specific case was not successful. And I think it's all about successful activation of the purpose, not just stating a purpose on paper.
All right, that's interesting. So the blockages, if I understand you properly, and tell me if this is not the case, but the blockages could come from the legacy, the corporate identity and the legacy of a big corporation. In other words, it's not that easy to transform yourself entirely.
Well, yes, that might be blockages, but at the end, it all has to do whether you really honestly mean what you say in your purpose statement, and whether you are really honestly and credibly driven to make clear in a tangible way what your stated purpose means to all your stakeholders, starting with your employees, because your employees are the ambassadors of your purpose. Yeah. Every day. So if you are not able to convey in a very understandable way to your employees what the purpose actually means on a day-to-day basis, then you cannot say you have activated that purpose. And then other stakeholder groups need to be, let's say, convinced as well that, you know, it's not just another statement, a marketing statement, so to speak, but it's really what you truly mean as a company.
But the you in this mechanism, the you, does it mean the leadership of any corporation, or are we talking about a whole stakeholder that includes, as you just said, the employees, the customers, the shareholders, and maybe there could be some resistance here?
Well, you know, practically speaking, defining a purpose is probably an exercise that is initiated with leadership, but yeah. To make sure it's embedded within the DNA and the culture of the entire organization, you better involve all those stakeholders that you just mentioned in defining the purpose. So, and again, if you want to be successful with the activation later on, the early involvement of all stakeholders is crucial.
And do you have enough tools to measure the impact of such a purpose?
Well, measuring the impact, as I said, through public value is probably one of the most natural approaches to do that. Now, as you know, Virginie, we are working with Professor Timo Meinhardt on a concept called public value scorecard, which is a concept or a framework that allows to measure public value in a systematic way. Mm-hmm. And I'm personally convinced that this is a very practicable way of measuring and also of comparing public value, for example, over time, when you look at the same organization, how the public value generation, or hopefully not destruction, but generation evolves over time, or you can measure it for a certain strategic initiative, pre-execution of that initiative, after execution of that initiative, and so on. And this, I think, is a practicable way of measuring also whether the activation of your purpose is actually successful by measuring a baseline before you activate the purpose. And then 1, 2, 3 years later, you probably need a couple of years to have a decent basis for that to measure how things have evolved.
Hmm. We are discussing big corporations, but I know that you also support Professor Meinhardt in its public value awards, which are actually called the EY public value awards, and these awards are oriented towards startups. So how did this idea how did it come up, and why did you have the feeling or this thinking that startups need to be also supported towards public value?
Well, there are several reasons for that. We as at EY, we further entrepreneurship. In general, we have had the so-called Entrepreneur of the Year Award in many countries worldwide for many years, more than 20 years. We actually select the Entrepreneur of the Years in many, many, many countries, and therefore further entrepreneurship. Second, with our own purpose and the activation of our own purpose, building a better working world, we also try to make tangible contributions in many ways through our core business, you know, our day-to-day business in audit, in tax advisory, in management consulting and transaction advisory. We believe we actually generate public value for our stakeholders. But in addition to, let's say, the core business, we try to go a step further and try to encourage others to move towards a more purposeful, let's say, business model and execution of the business model. And therefore, it is most natural to start with our younger companies, with the startup companies, and make them aware of what it means to actually generate value to society as a whole. And therefore we initiated this EY Public Value Award for startups together with Handelshochschule Leipzig and Professor Dr. Timo Meinhardt, who obviously helps us bring in the scientific element also in this whole approach. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing is the response from the startups was amazing. We are now in the fourth year already of this award.
Yes.
Last year we had way more than 100 applications for the award, and it resonates absolutely fabulously particularly with the younger generation. I think this is really a way of broadening, spreading the idea of public value within the community of not only the younger generation but the upcoming new companies through this startup award.
Well, we are going to put some information on this website. Maybe a few words to be very practical. If someone is listening to us and wants to apply, is this the right time to basically apply to this award? I know the award is given in the fall. Do you remember the timeline?
This is the perfect time still. We are still accept applications until mid-July, and then we select the finalists. We have a broad jury with experts from different areas and topics, and the award itself will be given at an award night in November only. So there's still time, and I can only encourage if there's any startup entrepreneur listening and watching this video, please consider. I think it will be a very very valuable exercise and very rewarding exercise for you personally and for your startup.
All right, so the link can be found on your website. We will put it also here. So good luck to everyone here. If you have a few more minutes, Marcus, I would like to take you to the responsible investment field. We know that you are one of the big fours. You are not a responsible investor yourself, but how do you see the role of investment in shaping a better world? Do you work hand in hand with the responsible investors? Is there something that is happening between the investors and the big consulting firms, or not yet?
Absolutely, there is. The interesting thing is that also institutional investors in the last couple of years have gone through an amazing process, of moving their focus from a very short term to a more longer term, perspective. I haven't mentioned yet in this interview that EY is supporting an initiative called the Embankment Project of Inclusive Capitalism. And this project, which is supported not only by EY, but by a number of very prominent other corporates globally, this initiative is all about how are we publicly reporting value going forward? Do we continue with our, let's say, retroactive-based annual financial statements and annual reports that we've had for such a long time? Or is it time now to shift the paradigm towards a more future-oriented reporting framework? And that is exactly what we are driving with our long-term value reporting initiative and framework that we have developed. And we get support from the investor community in driving that. Let me just quote Larry Fink, the BlackRock CEO, who wrote to his investees twice already in January 2018. He clearly stated, you investees of BlackRock, you need to articulate your company's strategic framework for long-term value creation, and you need to explicitly affirm that it has been reviewed by your board of directors. That was 2018. 2019, he said, purpose guides culture, provides a framework for consistent decision-making, and ultimately helps sustain long-term financial returns for the shareholders of your company. So implicitly, clearly, Larry said, you need to have a purpose defined and activated, you need to report upon it, and you need to report to your stakeholders how you are generating long-term value. And I find this remarkable, because I think this is also a paradigm shift we are seeing in the investor community. And if BlackRock, the biggest of all hedge funds, actually moves forward with these statements, I think we have a good support for our ideas here to move them forward.
Yes, and eventually we will see the results in our own society and on our planet, which basically is the point of all this exercise. Yes. So we're coming to an end of interview. I would like you to give us an advice. I mean, we're meeting with a lot of CEOs on their strategic transformation. Imagine a big corporation which is extremely heavy, as we mentioned, a bit prisoner of its own legacy. What is your advice when people, CEOs, feel overwhelmed by the need to transform themselves?
Yeah, I can only come back on what I said a bit earlier. First of all, defining a purpose, I think, would be a very good starting point, because it can be the guiding star for a journey going forward. And companies will ever go through transformation also in future. But having a guiding star with a purpose, with an activated purpose, I think, helps to find some security in a very volatile times. Let's put it like that. And such a navigation element is very important, not only for management, but especially for all the people, and last but not least for external stakeholders as well. So that would be my starting point. Second advice would be, please focus on longer term value creation rather than just short term results. Because first of all, in the investor community, requests it, right? I mean, companies, corporations, CEOs are usually accountable to their shareholders, investors. So that's a very immediate relationship, which is relevant. And if those immediate stakeholders start requesting this long-term thinking, I think it is high time to make that paradigm shift and try to refocus the strategy on exactly that longer term value creation. So go away somewhat from this short term thinking and make sure you optimize long term value. And then obviously the third step would be make it transparent to all your stakeholders. And make sure everyone buys in. So there's a communication, an engagement element to it as well. It's not just about strategy, it's about engaging everyone around that strategy going forward. These would be my three points.
Excellent, thank you very much. I mean the engagement, I understand the engagement is also about acknowledging the challenges and not be afraid of particular challenges.
That's very much true, and with that you also acknowledge that this is not an easy way. I think we all agree this is challenging. It sounds very 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 easy and very simple when I state that, but of course this is a challenging way. Needs a lot of effort. Needs a lot of engagement with the constituencies. But I think it's the only way of getting to that next level.
Markus Schweitzer, I want to thank you deeply for your time and participating in this project. Thank you. We are going to put the link to the EY Public Value Award on our website and any other information that you consider relevant. Thank you for your time and your
thank you, my pleasure.
Conversation. Goodbye. Thank you, Markus.